Our scripture reading tonight was in Psalm 40. Would you look there with me, please, if you have your Bible? If you don't, there's one right there in the pew. And we'll look at just the first three verses. And I have three quick ideas, just challenging ideas I hope that can be a blessing to us. You know, a graduation time really is an obvious time for memories, and I don't want to rain on that parade. But on the other hand, I would say there really is, girls, a danger. And the danger is that you can be tempted to try to hold on to the memories. And memories are wonderful as long as they're roots, but they are not memories they're not good if they hold you back. And so you want to be careful of that. That's a temptation. But then another dangerous temptation is to forget the spiritual lessons of the past. And I don't want you to do that. And the Lord doesn't want you to. And there's some things in this passage that deal with some things that I hope we can kind of just pin down one last time if we can. Not that you won't be back. I don't mean that. But one last time here today, and specifically for you, and we'll let everybody else listen in. So look at our text. The first one is in verse 1. This talks about this subject of patience. We kind of need to define that and talk about what patience is. But the psalmist David here said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And so I want to challenge you to remember to wait patiently for the Lord. And Molly and Julia, I will tell you that when the Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, we need to understand that patience word in the Bible. Because generally what we think of patience in our culture today is a very passive tolerance. You know, you go to the dentist's office and your appointment's at 2, and 2 comes and goes and you're there at 2:15 or 2:30 or 2:45. And if you just wait patiently, that basically means you sit there and occupy yourself, and you don't get up and you don't have a hissy fit and you don't get mad and you don't get yell. You just kind of are passive and you just tolerate that. But that's not what this is talking about. This is not talking about a passive tolerance. This is rather talking about a kind of a very deliberate endurance, and a very active endurance. When David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, he was not saying, I did nothing. In fact, we'll look at what the verse says about one of the things that he did. And I would like to kind of illustrate this patience in a different way. I run, you know, and that sort of thing in marathons. And I'll tell you something about 26 miles. It's a long way to go. And my wife has taken me, and she'll wait at the end. Well, I'm a very old and very slow runner. So it might take me 5 hours to do that. Well, here's two different kinds of patience. My wife is very patient if she is, in fact, where is Janice? There she is. She is very patient if she is just passive and tolerant. In other words, she just puts up with this folly and she waits at the finish line, and it takes me forever and ever and ever. And when I get done, she doesn't yell at me. In fact, she'll clap for me. She'll cheer for me. She thinks it's great. On the other hand, my patience is very different. And here's the key, because this is what this scripture is talking about and what we need. My patience is at 10 or 12 or 14 miles, I want to quit every time because it's hard. And the further you go, the harder it gets. And it seems like it will never end. And it really does seem like it will never end. And there is so much temptation to quit or to stop or to sit or to walk or do anything but endure. And that is what David was talking about. To keep going and going and going and going until you see Jesus. That's the idea. It is much easier to quit. There are many Christians that quit. It's very, very common. It is not uncommon. It is more common for Christians to quit than to endure like this. Than to just keep going and going and going. Anybody can go when it's easy. That takes no faith, no endurance, no character, no trust in the Lord. It doesn't take much of anything. It's easy when it's easy. It's when life is tough that David is talking about here. And he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Remember to wait for the Lord. God is at work in you. And God will never stop working in you. He's working in you. He's working around you. He's working in you. And He wants to work through you. You cannot speed God up and you cannot slow Him down. There will definitely be times where you would do almost anything to get God to speed something up and to get through some struggle. It is not uncommon for a Christian to think, I just have to have relief. I just have to get through this. I just want this problem to stop. That is the time for this kind of endurance that is active, that keeps doing the right thing, that keeps actively believing and keeps on for the Lord. But you cannot slow God down either. And there may well come a time where you will stop and think, wow, how did I get through high school already? How is it done? You'll kind of come to your sense and yourself and think, wow, it really is over. And that's the way life goes many times, where things will happen and we'll really long for something, but then when it comes, it's wow, it's over. You can wait impatiently and be frustrated, or you can wait patiently and enjoy Jesus through everything. But God's in control of timing. You can't speed Him up, and you can't slow Him down, but you can love Him. And that would be our prayer for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint, Isaiah said. But there's one more little point in that verse that I wanted to bring out. Not only to remember to wait patiently for the Lord, but here's one of the ways that you can actively endure the struggles of life. And look what it says. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and what? Heard my cry. Not only remember to be patient and wait for the Lord, but remember to cry to Him. And sometimes when life gets really difficult, we'd rather whine and cry to everybody else. If you're going to whine, whine to Jesus. If you're going to cry, cry to Jesus. If you have a problem and you need to complain, you may not need to complain, but if you're going to complain, take it to Him. Talk to Him. Cry to the Lord. Isn't it amazing that David, we think of this man as being this one that stood up to a lion and stood up to a giant and stood up to all kinds of enemies, mortal and military enemies, and yet David said, I cried. He heard my cry. God always hears those who cry to Him. The temptation would be to go to almost anyone else. Go to the Lord. Here's a psalm. 102 verse 2 says, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. And Psalm 88 says this, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws nigh or near unto the grave. So, remember your patience. Number 2. Verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. So if we want to be alliterated, the first one would be patience. The second one will be a pit. Now maybe you won't remember patience and praise, but you might remember the pit. Remember your pit. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Remember that you were in the pit. What is this talking about? I mean, think about it. We're not talking about merely falling in a mud hole. I mean, this is an amazing metaphor here. I mean, this is talking about somebody that is hopeless and helpless. They have fallen into a pit, David's talking about. He's talking about this deep hole that he could not get out of. Not only that, no one else could get him out of it. And he said, God brought me out of a pit. Remember that you were in the pit. You stood right here a few moments ago, and you both said, and you declared, and you announced that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is what this is talking about. That's the pit. The pit is the pit of sin. and the sin of guilt, and I mean the pit of guilt, and the pit of shame, and the pit of doubt, and the pit of fear, and the pit of worry, and the pit of pride. And you name a sin, that's the pit. Say. And what David said is, he brought me up also in a horrible pit. David did not look at God as being someone that you just kind of trust so that when you get to the end of life, you get to heaven. But in the meantime, between when you trust Him and when you die and get to heaven, in the meantime, it's just kind of on automatic pilot. You just kind of do the best you can and you enjoy life and you focus on your freedom and you focus on your liberty and you focus on what you want to get out of life. No. David talked about that pit and he never got over the fact that that is where God found him. And if you're saved, and you said you were, and I don't doubt you, but if you are saved, and there was a time you were in a pit, and now you're not, never forget that. God brought you up out of the despair of living apart from God and His Word. Here's another verse in the Psalms. Psalm 69 says, I sink in deep mire. Think of that. Deep mud. I sink. He said, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. You may well face this kind of great, great difficult struggle where you just feel like the more you move, the worse it gets. He goes on and says, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Whatever comes in life, remember that there was a time that you were in the pit and Jesus got you out. So you owe Him and you should love Him because of that. But remember this, remember that you're not in the pit. Amen? You're no longer in the pit, man. How do you know? Look at this verse. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Remember that you're no longer in the pit because you're on a rock. What is the rock? The rock is this book. That's why we gave it to you. We could have given you a pen. We could have given you a mug. We could have given you some red tennis shoes. We didn't choose to give you any of those things. We gave you a Bible. Why? Because that Bible is the rock. This is the only thing on this planet that you can trust. It never changes. This is God's Word. The Bible is so important to us and so important to God that when Jesus came to this planet, He was called the Word of God. So we have the written Word and we have the living Word, and we learn about the living Word from the written Word. And you have probably heard this, that it has been said that either sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin. I think that's a great statement because I don't think there's any middle ground. And so you just can just examine your life and think back and ask, how much time have I spent in God's Word? And when you haven't spent much time in God's Word, you can establish in your thinking, there's a reason. And that reason can be traced to some kind of sin. It might not be overt sin. It might just be the simplicity of just wanting to be lazy or wanting to watch something on television or play a game or whatever. And giving in to your feelings or whatever. That's a common ground for all of us. But hey, remember that you're not in the pit. God set you in a rock. The Bible is the rock. Everything shakes. Everything else shakes. Everything else moves. Everything changes. And remember that you're set on a rock and don't get off that rock. Keep going back to the Word. I challenge you. Keep going back to the Word. Look to the Scripture to find out how to be better. Let it convict you. Let it challenge you. Let it comfort you. Let it help you. Let it guide you. Go back to the Word of God. Keep going back to that. Remember that you were in a pit. You're no longer in the pit. And then finally, remember that there is a certain sense that you can return to the pit. Now, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you can never be unsaved. But you can act like it. And that is a sad thing indeed. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. What a sad statement that the Scripture says that when someone slides back from their profession of faith and slides back from their Christian testimony, and slides away from the dock on the beachhead, if you will, and just kind of drifts away from its moorings, and somehow drifts away from the rock and from what's stable. What a sad thing that the Bible says the black backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. What does that mean? That means God lets you go. We can either learn because we read the Bible and we see the way things turn out when you get away from the Scripture, or God will let us go. I don't mean let us unsaved, but He will let us go so we will learn not from the Bible, but from the school of hard knocks. And that happens. The backslider shall be filled with his own ways. And God will just let him have his desires. And then you will get what you want, but you will lose what you have and you will regret it. So patience, the pit, and then one more idea in verse 3. Remember your praise. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Always remember, Julia, always remember, Molly, that God gave you a song. That song is praise to our God. It's a new song. Please don't sound like those that are in the pit. Please don't sound like those that are not on the rock. Please don't give in to wanting and thinking and sounding and singing like those who don't know your Savior. Be distinct. God gives us a new song and a song of praise to Him. A song that is authentic from a heart that is in light, not darkness, and knows the truth, not error. There's a new song. It's God's song. And God is the one who put it into your mouth. That's what the Scripture says. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Sing that song. Be concerned when you don't have that song in your mouth. When you recognize that you are not singing, speaking the praise of God, when you are shrinking from that or discouraged from that, what is the remedy? Cry to the Lord. Go to Him and be honest and tell Him, I don't feel like singing. And be honest and be humble with God and don't fake it. Remember that God gave you a song. And then finally, remember that others are watching. That's what the Scripture says. That's why all these people came here. They came here because they're watching you. They came here to listen to you. That's why I'm going quickly. They came here because they want to fellowship with you and your families. They're watching you. And we'll be watching you in a year. And two. And three. And four. Make us proud. Make your church proud. Make your God proud. You can do that. You can do that. Remember that others are watching. The Scripture says, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Listen, the Scripture is very interesting here. When God says He gives a new song and He puts it in our mouth, and yet then the Scripture says many shall see it. And I ask you this question, if David is saying, God put a new song in my mouth, why did David then say, people see the song? How is it that he was saying, many shall see it? Listen, people don't see the song, they see the singer. But the singer and the song were not different, they are authentic. And they saw the song. And they had a great respect for God because they saw it in you. And they said, I want to know the Savior that they're singing about. You can do that. Many shall see it and fear. The idea there is revere and respect and worship and honor and submit to the Lord. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Matthew 5:16, the Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Make it your daily goal to say what David said in this psalm in verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Remember your patience. Remember your pit. Remember your praise. God bless you, girls.